You may have seen an article in the Sunday Sun Herald written by Caitlin Fitzsimmons about a topic that we have banged on about here on the Night Shift for quite some time, and that is the fact that it's very, very hard to find a rental property anywhere in Australia, but particularly Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. And tenants with pets have got it really, really hard. Now, in New South Wales, the government is considering changing residential tenancy laws to give renters greater rights to own pets. Animal welfare advocates are warning that the housing crisis is forcing people to surrender their animals. I noticed that the Fair Trading Minister, Victor Dominello, plans to open some sort of consultation later in October and look at how laws can better cater for tenants with pets in rental properties. Now, have your ears pricked up? Is this you? Maybe you're one of the thousands and thousands of Australians who during COVID maybe went to an animal shelter or went online and bought a pet for company. And now it's back to work and you've got to think, what am I going to do with this pet? And particularly, what am I going to do if I rent or if I'm now struggling to find a rental property? Am I going to have to hand the animal back? Or worse come to worse, am I going to have to put the animal down? If you're a landlord, do you want the right to be able to say yes or no to your tenants owning pets? It's a difficult one. An expert on this is Andrew Kaluri. Now, Andrew has been in property management for over 20 years. He is the founder of Flick It Over. We'll talk about that in just a second. He's on the line right now. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, mate. Welcome to the Night Shift around Australia. This concern about renters and their pets has been around for a long, long time now, but I believe it's New South Wales that's actually going to look at changing legislation. Is that how you understand it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's an interesting one. Over the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen most states go through some change to their legislation. ACT was first, followed by Victoria. Queensland have some new legislation actually coming in this Friday on the 1st of October that puts a little bit more rights in the tenant's favour. And now New South Wales is next in line.
So, as I said in my introduction, if you're a landlord, and I am, as a landlord, Andrew, I want to be able to have the say as to yes or no to pets. And the rental property that we have, we've allowed pets, but we've had a say in what sort of pet. Now, the rental property we have does not suit a huge dog. We've said yes to cats and we said yes to a fox terrier. So I think if you take away that right from landlords, you're going to see fewer and fewer people investing in rental properties.
Yeah, correct. It needs a lot of common sense about it, I think, is what you'd draw back to. But unfortunately, when they write the legislation, they often don't factor that in. And they come up with these blanket rules that really remove it. As you said, you own the property. You really should have some kind of input on what you're going to accept in your own property.
Exactly. And without that, I would say bugger it. I'll sell it. I'm not going to take all the risk, which is what a landlord does, and be told that, yes, I have to say yes to pets. However, let's look at the rental crisis at the moment. How are we going to fix this? Because we're not building more houses. There is a skill shortage. There's a material shortage. So what do we do?
Yeah, and there's so many things at play with this conversation. And what with nationally, we're seeing vacancy rates below 1%. And the people that we're talking to that are out there looking on the weekend, they're actually removing the pets from the application and running the gauntlet of not disclosing the pet. You put yourself in an owner's shoes. Most owners are getting multiple quality applications in front of them. One of them has a pet, one of them doesn't. You're naturally going to default to the one without, just for wear and tear purposes.
Exactly.
And we're hearing a lot of people after weeks and weeks of missing out because the pet's on the application, removing it and running that gauntlet.
Oh, no. So what's the answer? And we have a serious problem in Australia. Some people have suggested that Airbnb has contributed to this. Andrew, I'd like to hear what you think, that landlords, instead of having wear and tear and risk for 12 months of a year, they're putting their properties on the market in some areas, especially in holiday areas, where they only have to take that risk for a few weeks in a year and they still get the same return.
Yeah, we see that in areas like Bondi, a lot of holiday areas, which naturally over summer drains a lot of rental properties from the rental pool, which again puts pressure on prices. And again, during COVID, we saw a lot of those properties return to the market because there was no holiday tenants, which, at that time was quite easy to be a tenant. A lot of owners were looking for quality tenants, but we've really seen the speed that the market turned on its head is probably what surprised us. Once sort of COVID has settled down, Queensland's a real trouble spot, I think, because they were the ones that got the net migration, the biggest increase
Right.
of population from COVID of people leaving New South Wales and Victoria. Now they've got the new legislation coming out, which is going to remove a lot of the owners' rights around decision-making of pets. But they've also got this land tax issue coming out where they're going to
This
tax all your land holdings.
is in Queensland.
In Queensland, yeah. So it's forcing a lot of Queensland property owners to sell up, which is going to reduce the rental pool in that state.
What about the rest of the state?
New South Wales, look, we see a lot of data in New South Wales. And what surprised me was, even though we know pets are being hidden, 25% of all leases in New South Wales have the pet clause turned on. So there is a pet on the lease, which surprised me of the size of that number. So if you're an owner that does actually say no, you're dismissing at least 25% of the marketplace. Victoria changed their legislation last year where the default was yes to pet. And if an owner wants to not allow a pet, they need to go through the tribunal system
Yeah.
to get that ruling if the property's not suitable. If it was a studio, and it had no balcony and someone wanted to keep a horse there without sounding silly, they are protected that they can say no in those scenarios.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between, say, a German Shepherd and a goldfish. So,
100%.
yeah, and I'm not being silly. I'm saying there are pets and then there are pets. I'm talking with Andrew Caliguri, who is with Flick It Over, which is a property management tool. Tell us about it.
So we play in the digital document signing space. So if an agent wants to sign a residential tenancy agreement or a managing agency agreement, we communicate via SMS a lot faster than emails. So we're a digital document signing tool that specializes in real estate.
Yeah. What
And
about?
just on that regarding the goldfish, I was going to say, I think if buildings proactively manage this situation and attract themselves to tenants with pets, I only see a positive there. Higher rental returns, higher sale prices as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about other areas of discrimination that you can easily hide when vetting for a tenant. You may have a landlord that says, I don't want someone of this particular background, this particular race, this I don't smoking or non-smoking, for example. How far can a landlord and an agent go?
Look, I need to refresh myself, but I think the only two areas there are smoking clauses. You can say someone can't smoke in your property.
And if they do, you can terminate.
You can, yeah, they'll be in breach of the agreement.
Yeah.
Financially, you need to assess them correctly, but you can't financially discriminate. And then pretty much everything else is off the table. Look, I started in property over 20 years ago, back in the day when you'd have ads saying no students,
Yes.
that you'd have ads saying no pets, and that world's gone. So, an owner, look.
I remember years ago, Andrew, there was an ad, and I'm talking many years ago. There was a rental property advertised in the Sydney Morning Herald, I think it was. I'm going back many years. And it said GPS students, ex-GPS students need only apply. Seriously, I mean, you can't do that anymore.
No. Look, an owner putting, look, a lot of old school owners will say to their agent, agents are smart enough to know what they can and can't do. But a lot of say we don't want this. You're very restricted. You can't discriminate at all regarding where they're from, financially, background, all those different things.
So, to try and combat the rental crisis, you obviously need more stock. How are we going to get that when you can't find apprentices, you can't find workers, and you can't get materials?
Correct. Yeah, and that's the thing that concerns us the most is something needs to change to stop this rental crisis from continuing, and we can't see any of those metrics changing. We actually, as you say, people can't find staff. They're talking about needing to bring more skilled labour in, which is just going to put more pressure on rental prices in those metro areas. So we can't see anything changing in the short term that's going to give some relief to tenants seeking a property.
Yeah, and you've got Anthony Albanese saying, oh, we want to lift the immigration rate to 35, an extra 35,000 a year. Where are these people going to live?
Yep. No, we look. We it's we've seen on the leases that are done through our system last year, the average rent increase was $30. We've already seen that increase to $40, on top of the average price of rent increasing as well. In the inner city of Sydney, that was around about 8% already this year. We've seen that increase.
Something else that I have callers tell me, Andrew, and this might be out of your league, but I'm sure you have an opinion, is that you've got people lining up around the block to look at a rental property on a Saturday morning that's been advertised. It's going through an agent, and it's advertised for, say, $350 a week or $600 a week. And then when you get there and you've done and you do the application, and many people have already done the application online before they turn up, they go up to the agent and say, "Listen, I'll give you an extra $100 a week to get this property." How often does that happen?
Yeah, look, it's a very inconsistent market. The agents we talk to, the scenario you're describing, exists every weekend.
Yeah.
They may do 10 opens, and it's funny, some of them will have five or six on a normal number, and then one will have 24 waiting for them out the front when they arrive.
Yeah.
We do see people outbidding each other. The agent, there's a lot of things now where the agents can't actively seek that or hold like a rental auction, stopping that. But a lot of people will proactively put a higher figure on their application. One, because they're sick of looking, and two, because they need to secure a place. They're running out of time, especially if they've got a deadline of where they've got to move from.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll ever see the day where we have Saturday morning rental auctions.
Well, I think they've got laws that block that. So I think there was a bit of that creeping into the market. So there are things where they can't be held, but an agent can't stop a tenant offering more money.
Yeah. Flick It Over. Is you're the founder of Flick It Up, but it's spelled FLK, correct?
Yes, correct.
Flick It Over. Yep. If people want to learn more about what you do, Andrew, how do they get hold of you?
Yeah, just on our website, flickitover.com. Any real estate agents out there who are seeking, to get more efficiencies through their processes, that's where we specialise.
All right, tell you what, you and I should talk again, eh?
Yeah, look forward to it.
Andrew Coliguri, who is the founder of Flick It Over, but it's spelled FLK. Good on you, Andrew. Talk soon.
Excellent. Thank you very much for having us.